This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Never settle. Unless it's into the electrifying BMW i4. Blend the lines of cutting-edge and classic with groundbreaking technology at your fingertips. Experience M-engineered precision while you twist around every turn. After all, electric doesn't have to be static. If you thought EVs couldn't live up to your expectations, then you've never experienced the ultimate electric driving machine. The 100% electric 2025 BMW i4.
Hurry into the BMW President's Day sales event and receive exceptional offers through March 2nd.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. It is our weekly visit with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. Before my first question, Coach Rizzi, congratulations on the win yesterday.
I appreciate that, Mike. It's always nice to go on the road and get a W for sure.
So, but it is weird, for the second straight week, we will begin kind of not talking about the game, but really the news of the day. Last week it was Taysom. This week, Derek Carr. It's not one, but it's two. It's the concussion protocol and the fractured left hand. I guess update us as best you can. And it feels, from what you said earlier today, it's just going to be a day-to-day thing.
Yeah, listen, we'll start with the concussion part of it. Obviously on the same exact play, he was really dealing with two different things there. Obviously got banged up, you know, went up high in the air and came down hard, and was dealing with the head part of it, and then obviously the hand as well. So, you know, the NFL concussion protocol, you know, he's got to come in tomorrow, and then you have to complete a bunch of different steps. So we're dealing with that, and then obviously the hand as well. So, right now, as I said earlier today, it doesn't appear as if this is going to require surgery at the moment. And so with that being said, it's going to be a situation, because it's his non-throwing hand, it'll be more of a week-to-week thing. So we'll see how he responds here. And like I said, but it is a double aspect with the concussion as well.
Well, Coach Rizzi, I know he's a quarterback, but Pete Werner, I know he broke his hand. He had a plate, and, you know, he got a club. Now that's different, because you got to handle the football. But he said, you know, every time you're trying to tackle, it's like punching the wall. And it does matter. I don't know. That's why I said, people, fans ask me, I said, I don't know, hairline fracture. I don't know. Where is it broke on the hand? I said, Coach Rizzi, I think you're old enough. Steve DeBerg, I remember right part of his hand by his pinky. He had broke his hand, and he ended up playing. Now, how you take a snap, if the center's doing it right, you don't want him to hit your bottom hand, hit the top hand. Can you handle the ball, or if you're in the shotgun, that all comes into play. So to me, I don't know, Archie Manning. And you can look at Ole Miss. He had a whole broke arm, and he had a cast, and he ended up playing. So it just depends. That's why, oh, he's out for the season for sure. No, he's not. It depends how serious it is. That's why all I know is, I know when Derek Carr plays, we got a better chance of winning. Just looking at the games that I have observed. Now, I'm not nothing against a Rattler or a Hayner. But I'm looking at explosive teams like Jane Daniels and Washington coming to town, that I think we got a better chance to win with Derek playing. So to say he's out for the season, that's just speculating to me, that I think he can come back and play, because players have come back and play from something like a broken hand before at the quarterback position. Not your right hand, if you're right-handed, but your left non-throwing hand.
Yeah, Bobby, I agree. First of all, I am old enough. I do remember Steve DeBerg, number 17, for the good old Denver Broncos, and then a couple other teams too, I believe. But, yeah, I remember that well. Yeah, listen, I saw those or heard about some earlier reporting that, you know, he was out for the season, blah, 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 going to IR. I don't know where that stuff came from. It's a little bit aggressive. As of this moment, like I said, that's not the case. It's not season ending. It's not an IR stint. Even more recently than that, I think, if I'm not mistaken, I think either Justin Herbert or Josh Allen or maybe both played with injuries on their non-throwing hand. Exactly. It all depends on, how it responds and whether we can function. Now, listen, there's obviously, different ways you can do it. You can go shotgun, you can go, all gun, pistol, all that kind of stuff, and still hand off with the other hand. So that's what the other teams have done with quarterbacks that have had a similar injury. So, listen, we're just trying to keep everything on the table and not rule anything out. And let's see how he responds. I don't want to keep saying it, but we're also dealing with the concussion part of it. So that's also going to be a factor. We'll see how that responds as well for this particular week. And we'll kind of play it from there. But yeah, there's been many guys that have played with injuries to their non-throwing hand, whether it be finger, hand, wrist, whatever it is. It's certainly possible, no doubt.
Now, Coach Rizzi, is there a constant evaluation? And the point I'm trying to make is between Rattler and Haener. Now, you look, when Carr missed the three games of the oblique injury, Rattler started each of those games. And then in Carr's absence with Haener, he also played some. And then he would be the number two guy that would come in. But is it like if Derek Carr can't go, what you want to see what you have in Haener? Because I think Rattler, now, supporting cast and all that, he had a chance to start. But Haener, a sample size, and I think you'd want to see what you have in him going forward. I know you want to win the games. But how do you evaluate, like, Haener and Rattler going forward? If Derek Carr can't go, who would be the guy? It's like, would they do every day in practice, or is that evaluation over? How do you, Coach Kubiak and everybody on the offense, how do you break that down?
Yeah, it's a very fair question, Bobby. And really, this goes all the way back to training camp, early on. And really, further than that, goes back to, when Spencer first got here at OTAs. And it has been a constant evaluation all the way through from spring to summer into the season. And to credit both of those guys, they both handled it very, very well. As you mentioned, Jake has kind of been the number two in all these games, whether Derek or Spencer has started. And the games that Spencer or Derek started, Spencer has been the emergency three. And yes, Spencer did get, a window of playing time there. And it was more of a sample size than Jake, no question. The things we've talked about here, if Derek's not going to go this week, and it looks like he probably won't be practicing at the beginning part of the week, both guys will get reps. Listen, it might be a situation where we say, hey, we're going to make this competition through the week and get reps and see who kind of gives us a better chance to win. Or we may say, hey, listen, we're going to go with this guy, and that's what we're trying to determine between now and Wednesday when we go out, how we're going to play that out. But it could be a situation where, both guys get a shot here and we see which guy performs better and make it a competition. But both those guys, like I said, have handled it very maturely. Both guys have handled it well. Both guys have a lot of different, attributes that are positive. And both guys are very, very, very competitive. That's probably the best thing I could say about both of them. So we're trying, like I said, keep all options here on the table. We're not, putting our foot down and saying this is the plan yet. We're going to kind of see how the next couple days unfold.
So, Coach, I want to go through the final field goal block play. So they're kind of quick questions. And they're not, deep, but I want to get through the kind of the succession if we can. So 16 seconds, 3rd and 15, Brian Brzee comes out of the game. Did that have anything to do with the fact that he was that the next play that was coming for the field goal, which at the time you didn't know really was going to happen, but he comes out of the game?
Yeah, he did come out of the game. If I'm not mistaken, he had been in. Obviously, we rotate the pass, especially when there's a two-minute situation. We're constantly rotating the pass rushers. Kind of knew at that point that he was coming off the bench and knew what we were going to call. We had the option, obviously, if we wanted to ice the kicker. I knew that he was fresh coming off the bench. Had he been out there for a few plays, that could have been an option to give us another – give him another little breather. But, you know, we discussed all during that drive what our field goal block call was going to be, myself, Phil Galliano, Moof, you know, Marwan Maloof. And so we were kind of talking on the headset, hey, you know, and then I saw Brian standing there and kind of knew he was fresh and ready to go. And as I said yesterday, just an unbelievable individual effort for him to go and make that game winning play.
All right. So here, I'll wrap it up with this. So first off, it's a two-parter. Does the play have a name, one, and two, as he leapt over, I mean, he almost catches the back heel of one of the Giant offensive linemen. I don't think he did because he landed on his toes. But first off, does it have a name? And two, if he'd have hit that guy's heel with his foot, it would not have counted, correct?
It does. I don't want to say the name because we may call it again. I don't want the opponent to hear it on the field.
Okay.
But it does have a name. And so it does change a little bit depending on who's doing the
actual act. Say no more. Proceed.
So it does have a specific name, and that's the name. And then let's go through the rule part of it, because I've actually gotten a ton of questions about this, you know, in the last 24 hours. So you are allowed to push down on the opponent's back and push them. That's not holding. You could push them down to the ground. You can't grab and pull the player down, but you could push down on the player. That's what Peyton Turner and that's what Nathan Shepard did, and they should be commended because they did a phenomenal job. Second part of it is when the lineman jumps over the line of scrimmage, and when a lineman jumps over the line of scrimmage, they cannot get a running start. They have to be on the line of scrimmage. For anybody that's going to jump over the line, they have to be a player that's on the line of scrimmage, and they can't. There's two things they cannot do. Number one is they can't leverage off of your own guy or the opponent, meaning they can't put their hands on them and gain a height advantage. And then number two, when they do jump, they cannot land, as you mentioned, on the opponent. And that's what Brian did a phenomenal job of, clearing his feet. He kind of, like you said, kind of landed a little bit awkwardly, but still had enough juice to kind of go up and get his hand up, and you know, the rest is history.
Well said. The rest is history. Got to take a quick break. This is the Saints Coaches Show. It's the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show right here on the Saints Radio Network. Back after this on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
At T-Mobile, we'll give you four free 5G phones and four lines for only $25 per line per month with eligible trade-ins. And no, it's not a contest. It's every day for a limited time. Everyone's a winner on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay. Up to $830 off each phone via 24 monthly bill credits plus taxes, fees, and $10 device connection charge. For well qualified customers, contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Kickstart your new year with a rewarding career at the HK Group. HK is the leader in heavy construction and contractor site materials with over 80 locations across Pennsylvania, New Jersey, and Delaware. HK offers a wide range of opportunities, including heavy equipment operators, CDL drivers, mechanics, site supervisors, engineers, and project managers. 100% paid benefits designed to promote healthy living, financial stability, and career growth. The HK Group does not discriminate. Apply today at hkgroup.com. It's your future opportunity.
What's up, NBA fans? It's Danny Green here. For those who want an inside look at the league through the eyes of a three-time champion, check out my podcast, Inside the Green Room. New episodes drop every week. Be sure to subscribe to Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Saints Visit Pensacola Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network, our weekly visit with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach. Tight one, 7-3 at half. The third quarter has been a struggle for your offense all season, only 25 points. So to get that touchdown in the third quarter, and really kind of in the way that it happened, 9 plays, 74 yards, Juwan Johnson, you know, I hate to say it, but I think I could have caught the ball. I'm not 100% sure, but that drive, because you had struggled in the third quarter and kept them out of the end zone in the third quarter and put that 7 up there, that was big.
Yeah, it was really big. That's been a huge emphasis for us. And it was a big emphasis going into the game, is we haven't been great, particularly in this three-game, you know, or this four-game stretch in the third quarter. And, you know, and then we come out our first drive. Unfortunately, we get an interception, but then we get the ball back. Defense forced two punts in a row, so they did a great job coming out at halftime. And then we go down there in that second drive, and like you said, it was a long drive. Took some time off the clock. We got 7 points. Foster Moreau makes a phenomenal catch. you know, then obviously they had a little coverage bust and Juwan's wide open. Mike, I hope you caught that one. I'm not so sure about Bobby. Mike, you had a chance. but no, hey, all jokes aside, it was we needed that one in that particular time. It was a big deal. And, you know, ironically, our offense was a little bit of an enigma because, you know, we had some short drives or, you know, some short three and four and outs, but we had two sustained drives. It took a lot of time off the clock. We had the first touchdown drive, obviously, which was a big one, you know, 90 plus yards, took a lot of time off the clock. We converted a lot on that drive. It was a big deal. And so, that was a big deal. That third quarter drive opened up the game a little bit there for us, which we needed.
Yeah, Coach Rizzo, like you're saying, those two separate nine-play drives, that 98-yarder in the game, you know, was the longest drive we've had in 8 years. I said, we need to have just maybe not that far, but we need to have a few of those. But you know what I was disappointed in, and I'm sure you were too, because everybody's back. When you say everybody, like who you expected to start, how we started the season, and you look how we started the Eagles game, then Eric McCoy got hurt right away. But we only averaged 2.8 yards per carry, but we had 9 negative plays. I mean, that was like, okay, I can see you get stubbed 0 yards or you gain a yard, but too many like -2, -3. What was up with that? I know we couldn't block Brian Burns. I mean, I think Fuaga might have struggled at times, but our tight ends, I know you can catch the ball, but, man, we need to get on the sled or something. We got to run block better. You know, whether it's Foster, Marlowe, or Juwan now, John, you know, you're not a receiver no more. You're a tight end, and run blocking and pass blocking because you can't beat a weak link. So I know you looked at the film, and to me, that's where I was discouraged, considering, you know, got all hands on deck since that Eagles game. And we only averaged 2.8 yards a carry and all those nine negative plays on the run.
Yeah, I'm going to have to agree with you there, Bob. That's something we got to get better at. It's something that was a focus coming into the game. I look at it and really break it down. I think our perimeter run game was really where we had the majority of the negative plays. I thought we had some good downhill runs, you know, between Alvin and Kendre in between the tackles. But I thought our perimeter, you're right, we got to do a better job blocking on the perimeter, both tight ends, receivers, everybody. We got to do a better job on those perimeters because a lot of our perimeter plays ended up going for, you know, going backwards a little bit and become a negative play. So, and that didn't help us out, put us into some second and third and longs, you know, kind of put us behind the chains. So, and then the 98-yard drive, I agree with you. We had some, you know, that first third down conversion on that 98-yard drive, really, when you look at the game, when you look back, it was one of the biggest plays of the game. We had Derek probably had his best or one of his best throws of the game to Scantling on that first third down, you know, on an over route. Great ball, great timing, great catch. And that gave us a little confidence there, kind of got us out of the hole, you know, in the shadows of the goalpost there, kind of gave us a little breathing room, and then we were able to operate and get down the field and had a couple of big plays there to Juwan and Foster. And so, yeah, totally agree. I got to be honest with you, I didn't know it was our longest drive in 8 years either, but I know it's kind of hard to beat a 98-yard drive. There's only one drive that beats a 98. But that was a big one. That was a real big one.
Now, Coach Rizzi, looking at, you know, this day and age, you can analyze your analytics and you're breaking it down on fourth down. When do you go for it? You look how aggressive Dan Campbell has been with the Lions. Well, I said we definitely aggressive on fourth down going forward when our special teams out there. Now, the Saints, we won three of their last, the Saints now, the past five games, we've now attempted three fake punts. The first one did not have a positive outcome with Jamal Williams. So you look at direct snap. Well, what happened on that play was stopped shy of the mark. You know, it was fourth and three. But what is the mindset with yourself and all that, whether you're going for it on fourth down or not? And then, obviously, you know, you might fake a punt, maybe once or twice a year, but that's like in a short time span that all of a sudden the Saints have now attempted three fake punts. So what's your take, just the mindset, when you faking a punt or going for it on fourth down?
Yeah, sure. It's just really an aggressive mentality. And then, you know, listen, as far as fourth downs go, you know, I think you really have to play the individual game. You know, you can't go in with a blanket statement, say we're always going to do this or we're always going to do that. We're always going to, and sometimes the analytics is great, but at the same time, I think you have to be smart in how you play the game. We had a great look on the fake punt. We didn't execute it very well. We were half yard short. That's on me. I thought, you know, we had the look we wanted. We had executed and practiced that play all week. And, so credit the Giants for getting the stop. You know, we had a later on, we had another fourth and short near midfield where we decided to punt the ball. But I felt like our defense at that point, you know, with 10 minutes to go in the game, the Giants had a total of 98 yards. Now they ended up getting 160 on the last three drives, which we got to do a better job of finishing. But I felt like we punted the ball back and put the ball back in their court, let our defense, who had played well all day, let them go out and kind of finish the trip. But, you know, listen, if you're in one of these 35-33 games and you're there near midfield and no one's stopping anybody, then that's where you're probably a little bit more aggressive with the fourth down calls. And that's kind of the position that Dan Campbell was in against Green Bay. You know, they were in one of those high-scoring affairs where Dan felt like, hey, if I give the ball back here, you know, they're going to go down and score. And so, like I said, it really just kind of depends on that individual game, how the game's going, the quarterback, all that good stuff. So analytics plays a role, but, you know, we're never going to be wholesale analytics.
Need to take another break. We're back with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi. This is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show here on the Saints Radio Network. Welcome back. It is the Visit Pensacola Saints Coaches Show with Saints head coach Darren Rizzi, brought to you by Visit Pensacola, the way to beach, Bobby Hebert at the Silver Slipper Casino, and head coach Darren Rizzi. Coach, doesn't get any easier. You had the Giants. They were on a mini bye. Now you get Washington, who are on an actual bye, 8-5. A lot of talk this week will be about stopping Jaden Daniels, both throwing and running. Probably running first, but we'll have to wait and see. 108 carries, 449 yards for him. So he will pull it down.
Yeah, the NFL has a sense of humor. We got the bye schedule with Cleveland and the Giants, and now Washington. So we got in sync or Backstreet Boys or bye. We got a good sense of humor up there in New York. So we're the team that gets everybody coming off the bye. But hey, listen, we got to make this week, you know, about us, and we got to fix a lot of the things that we got to get fixed. At the same time, Jaden Daniels is doing a heck of a job for Washington. Obviously, Dan Quinn has those guys rolling right now. And maybe the most impressive thing that Jaden Daniels has done for a rookie quarterback is he's looking at a 70% completion percentage and a guy that doesn't turn the ball over. And that's usually the two things that a rookie quarterback is known for, right? You know, low completion percentage and turnovers. And so they've done a phenomenal job. Cliff Kingsbury's done a really good job with their offense. They got it going right now. It's going to be a heck of a challenge for us. We got to regroup quickly. And like you said, they're coming off a bye. They're going to be fresh. And they're coming off a win, a big win, you know, meaning by score. And so, again, very, very, like it is every week in this league, we're going to have a challenge in front of us. But certainly a very talented group coming in.
You know, Coach Rizzi, we did bounce back. I'm going to look at third down in the red zone. Compared to the Rams game, looking at that, the Giants were only 1 of 3, 33%. We were 2 of 2, 100%. And like we're playing Washington, I'm looking at red zone touchdown percentage. We're basically two peas in a pod, that being the Commanders and the Saints, right at 60%, which is 7th best in the NFL. And then you look red zone defense. So that's something, you look red zone offense, defense, that has to be like a top 10 formula. But we didn't have that against the Rams. We had that against the Giants. But the one thing that is puzzling to me, because that wasn't necessarily in the past, we've been pretty damn good on third down defense. But third down offense has nothing to write home about. We were 33%, 5 of 15. Now, outstanding defensively, they were only 26%, 5 of 19. And coming into the game, we were giving up like basically 36%, which is good defensively. That's amongst the best. But offensively, why has we struggled so much to convert on third down? I'm not saying you got to be 50%, but that number needs to be in the 40 percentile.
Yeah, a few points on that, Bobby. Number one, I think the defense, you're right, particularly in the last 4 weeks. Excuse me, we've gotten a lot better on third down. We've gotten a little bit better every week. We've kind of jumped up from like 18th or 19th in the league to, you know, and we're rising there and getting better every week. Second point about the offense, again, in agreement with you. We've been a little bit of peaks and valleys with the third down. You know, we had been doing well in the first half on third downs the last few weeks, not so much this week, and not so great in the second half. But overall, for the day, 5, as you said, for 15, the number that sticks out to me there is we got to stay out of having 15 third downs. And so we got to limit the number, which means go back to your point from earlier about being better on first and second down with the negative plays and staying out of third and long. And so that's where I feel like we can help ourselves moving forward, because this is going to be one of those games this week where we got to try to keep Jaden Daniels over standing next to Dan Quinn and not on the field. And by that, I mean, we got to convert on third down. We got to keep the offense on the field. And so, agreed, that'll be a big emphasis this week. The defense continuing to play well there, third down red zone, and then the offense sustaining drives. So that's going to be a big part of the game plan this week and a big part of how we could have a chance to win this game.
Well, Coach, you've won 3 of the first 4. For the record, you are the youngest in this threesome, and you are correct. Bye-bye-bye, NSYNC, 2000. So keep it up. Keep it up. Keep getting those wins and stack them up, and thanks for your time tonight.
All right, guys. As always, I appreciate you guys.